across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
With some big doings on a big day, a big hour here for Up North News Radio on this Thursday, April 4th. We'll have Kristen Lyerly with us, Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, one or two other guests, including Luke Mathers, who's going to guide us through last night's episode of Top Chef Wisconsin. But we're going to be talking about changes in the political calendar, changes in personnel, changes right here on this fine radio program, all coming up in a few minutes to tell you about. But first, as always, at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us about a forecast on a day where it's 35 right now here on Lake Wissota, 33 in Hayward, 31 in Park Falls, 32 in Wausau, Green Bay at 34 right now, La Crosse 36, Wisconsin Rapids 35, Oshkosh has 34, Madison 34, and Waukesha 32 degrees. And Greg and I were saying in the last hour, Brittany, how nice it would be if, say, about a week from now, we could get back to being in the 50s and the sun's going to be coming up even earlier and maybe second winter will finally be over. Can you help us out with that?
I will try my best, but no promises. Sorry. Well, I know. It's been wild. Even today, the snow is still flying.
And that wind yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. About 3:30 in the afternoon out here for a good 10-minute period. Now, I would guess it easily pinged 40 miles an hour and then some. It was really impressive.
No doubt it was. I had to go outside and play in it a little bit, kind of stand there, see how much I could.
I thought about it, but they're still swirling around all these dead leaves, and they basically became throwing stars, you know, from martial arts if I'd have gone outside into that.
That's hysterical. See, different worlds in different places, because we just had snow flying off the roofs and smacking you and stuff. But So today the winds are going to start to ease up. They're still gusting at about 25 miles per hour. That'll kind of move its way through the state and then kick on out of here. So by the end of the day, it'll be calmer, 15 mile per hour gusts, not as bad. But to start this morning, it's still windy out there. A little bit mild into those mid-30s. And that means as the precipitation is still flying around, especially into the Fox Valley, right now you're seeing a wet, slippery snowfall. You could get about a dusting to an inch max. I'm going to kind of lean on more about a half an inch for you. But this is going to be working its way down through the state in towards Milwaukee, could even hit towards Madison as well. So keep in mind that over the next few hours, some flurries could be flying your way as well. This will kick on out of here, but if your temperatures are into the upper 30s already, you could see some sprinkles mixed in with some of those flurries as well. So a light wintry mix this afternoon, and then we get a break. Sunshine by tomorrow, a bright and beautiful weekend out there, and temperatures will be into those 40s. Get you 60s, but I can give you some 40s. 50s, okay. How's that?
Hey, we'll take anything at this point. I'm done. I'm ready to be done with second winter or whatever this is. Rob wishes us good morning from Tigerton, snowing in 34, feeling like early March. Looking forward to warmer weather and mowing season. My lawn tractors are getting serviced by Adams Small Engines in Clintonville, my official small engine mechanic. The guy's doing endorsements. He's doing endorsements already on his Facebook comments.
Work, Rob.
Man, I hope
I like
cash
Rob
the check.
More and more every day.
Hey. It's capitalism. Good on him. Yeah. You know, that's how it should work out. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. We are going to be having Luke Mathers on a little bit yet to come, our Women Win Wisconsin segment. And before that, we're going to be meeting up with one, if not more, people who have their own announcements to make about seats that they'll be running for in the state legislature because of new maps, new districts. And so we're going to have to get used to seeing some new faces as well. So look for all of that coming up over the course of the next, the rest of this hour, obviously. But Kristen, where you are in Green Bay, you had former President Trump there for a rally. And we discussed in the last hour how his appearance might very well have cost conservatives the majority on the Green Bay City Council as it flipped control based on a rather small margin of votes. But in terms of the rally itself, did you get any impressions from people that you talked to as far as what his message was whether he had much to say about the value of Wisconsin or if it was all about him. What was the chatter like out there?
It seems like, you know, what you would expect, all about him pounding on the border, how he won Wisconsin, things that we know just are not true. I mean, these are the common themes that he always uses. So, you know, people seem to enjoy that. But I think what people in Green Bay are recognizing is that this is not consistent with what they care about. This mega extremism is not that. Even for Republicans and for people who identify as conservatives, this does not reflect their values. And we're seeing that in voting patterns. And, you know, most remarkably, what you just mentioned, Pat, with flipping the Green Bay City Council, this is the dawn of a new day in Green Bay.
Yeah, it is. And people are getting tired of the, you know, the moldy oldies from Donald Trump, including this one here where he again is going to claim that there was, you know, some funny business and that he actually won Wisconsin in 2020. And for people who say, well, don't even play it, don't even give it oxygen. No, we're going to play it because we're going to tell you at the front end and the back end that this is a lie. It's not, as some people want to write, it's not, you know, flirting with untruths or whatever. No, this is a lie.
Ban Zuckerbucks. They put up money. They come out with these ballot boxes. One guy gets 3,000 votes in a good area for us, and the other one gets zero. You know who gets zero? Me. You think that's a real deal? No. You know, we won this state. We won this state by a lot. And it came out that we won this state, actually.
No, it actually didn't. It didn't come out that way at all. It had nothing to do with drop boxes, which were perfectly legal and well used until you started lying that they were part of the reason that you lost. And so now we don't have drop boxes, at least for a little while longer. He had said at one point, Kristen, you know, the cameras aren't going to show the room to show what a big crowd I have. One camera did. It was not a big crowd. It was like 200 people tops.
It was not a big crowd. And another comment that I heard from people who attended was that he looked diminished. He really likes to have this very powerful image, but they felt like in person, he almost looked like he had shrunk.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a diminishment going on, and you can hear it in the rambling. I mean, you looked at how we had to parse what he meant when he mentioned a bloodbath, you know, about a week ago, but it's because he doesn't really end sentences. He starts to say one thing and then he moves into another and he says, oh, by the way, it's going to be a bloodbath. And then this, and people will say, well, he was talking about the auto industry. It's like, no, you really can't tell because he speaks in these fragments without ever any evidence to back it up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you saw it just in a small hotel ballroom, not Lambeau Field, not any other bigger venue. And I just don't see how that grows. He does have his fans. One of our folks from Civic Media went and talked to some of the people that were heading in to the place in Green Bay. And I believe the one we're going to hear is somebody saying that they think it's the courts that are corrupt, that they're all somehow in cahoots, old man alert, to get, you know, Donald Trump to get him. And then, you know, somebody else saying that despite the best economy on earth of in terms of recovery from COVID, they still think that they're worse off financially than they were 4 years ago. Let's hear one or two of those cuts.
Love the man. There's things he says sometimes that are cringeworthy, but that's him.
Yeah.
That's his personality, and that is him. And if you expect anything different than that, you're on the wrong channel.
You've accepted him for who he is.
And that's all there is to it.
Absolutely.
Like him, but you can like what he
does. I love what he did. But the first year that Banzai Joe was president, we lost over $40,000 in our 401s.
Does it come back?
No. President again.
Your 401 hasn't come back.
Not all the way. Not, no.
That I made mention of this yesterday, saying if your 401k hasn't come back yet, your issue is not with Trump. and it's not with Biden.
Move your money.
It's time to move. And then here's the clip of somebody saying it's the courts that are out to get Trump.
Let me ask you this: as a Trump supporter, what if they vote him guilty? Would you still support him?
Vote him hurt.
Or if he gets convicted on any of the things that he's currently the trials that are going on and the indictments?
It's all a witch hunt, I believe. But if he is ever convicted as guilty, they're all corrupt, and I would not believe it. Okay. I would still support him, absolutely.
Right. So they're all corrupt, but he's not?
No, well, they're all corrupt.
So is he corrupt?
Well, I mean, you know, he is exposing all the corruption, or at least it opened my eyes to all the corruption that's going around.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, he may be corrupt as well, but I still support him because I love his love for the country, and that's how I feel about it as well.
Okay. So.
She loves his love to the country.
Me.
You.
So,
Pete Schwab,
Pete Schwab,
God,
you know,
bless
not corrupt. me,
Pete Schwab for president.
It's so interesting, though, how they use all the buzzwords, but then if you actually ask for details, like, you know, tell me more about the corruption. Tell me more specifically about the trials and where he is being wronged, and, you know, like, give me objective data. It's not there.
Right.
It's everyone, his fans are so indoctrinated into this fallacy that he's so good at selling people, but the truth is nowhere to be found here.
No, there's no there. They say, yeah, like they say, well, you know, witch hunt and things like that. But they, when they say, well, prove it, they go back with the, you know, the conspiracy music that Greg likes to accompany when you hear things like, oh, it's out there. If you just look, you know, they just won't tell you. They don't want you to know, but we know it's out there. No, it's not.
Well, they'll say, well, I'm not sure. I didn't like I didn't read it. I didn't watch it. I didn't see it, but I believe Trump. So he said it. So it's fine. Like they're, yeah, because they fully say that.
Yeah. They say like she said, I love his love for his country. What?
What about January 6th?
Yeah. What about that? Look, when you've lost Karl Rove, the architect of George W. Bush's political career, somebody, again, like a Lynn Cheney, somebody, or a Liz Cheney, somebody I never thought I would ever agree with. Mm-hmm. Karl Rove last night at a speaking engagement said, Democrats need to just pound on January 6th and Trump's pledge to release the people who attacked our Capitol, who attacked law enforcement, tried to overthrow the government. Focus on that because that's what really angers moderate Americans and conservative-leaning Americans. And when you have Karl Rove giving advice like that, you know Republicans are in trouble up and down the ticket. The first of several announcements coming up next year on this Thursday edition of Up North News Radio, live on the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg, what did I say as far as the year that this here Starship song
1987.
Was?
1987.
There
oh,
it is.
Dang.
From the movie Mannequin, where we all first fell in love with Kim Cattrall, long before Sex in the City. I don't even remember who the guy, the lead
Andrew
was
McCarthy.
In the movie. Oh, that's right. Whatever happened to him?
He went on to, he continued to act, he directed, he produced. He still does some acting, but he's very behind the scenes now.
I was going to say, he must have done some well-respected stuff that I would never see. That's because, again, you know, 80s screwball comedies like Mannequin are more my speed. But anyway, there was your number one song from this day in 1987. Folks watching on the video feed will see that we've been joined by somebody who was a familiar presence in Western Wisconsin for several years during his time in the legislature, and now he's stepped away. Now he's stepping back in. Welcome to the program, former Democratic State Assembly Rep and new Assembly candidate, Joe Plouffe. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I am very well, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Joe, when were you last in the Assembly?
It's been 20 years. I was taken out in 2004.
20 years since 2004. And so I've been, you know, and I've been out of the legislature since, you know, after 2010. We've all gone on to do other things. What have you been up to, Joe?
Well, I've been retired for 15 years. My last employment was with the Midwest Progressive Elected Officials Network. And that was a project of the Midwest State Center. And we worked in four states, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin, to connect progressive elected officials together and bring them together for the promotion of public policy.
And it's interesting because Kristen has worked on this as well, you know, helping network candidates and groups to work on, again, progressive policy, which is designed to solve problems. And so much as Kristen's done that networking in Northeast Wisconsin, you've done this in Western Wisconsin and other states. So you saw that the lines changed. There are finally new maps in place. So what's your plan? What you doing from here?
Well, I plan on running for the legislature, and I do plan on running on January 6th. The problem we have in this country is we have become so divided, and we have become so almost immune to the truth that people and movements can uprise into this country, and the January 6th movement scares me, and we have to do something about that. Now, what can I do at the state level? I can be a voice. I can be a voice of reason, and I can be a voice of consistency and bring us back to earth.
What were you especially proud of during your time, your first go around in the assembly in terms of legislation, in terms of, you know, just the working culture there, which now sounds almost quaint 20 years later?
Well, you're right. The culture has changed, and that's unfortunate, and that's one of the reasons that I would like to rejoin the legislature. I think I'm most proud of my constituent service. I think what people forget is that legislators, their main concern it is to be how you help your constituents get through the state bureaucracy. And I'm a storyteller. And Patrick, if you want me to tell stories, let's go.
We have that because we had that same sense of pride in my state Senate office was the constituent service that many people will tell you has not been what it used to be since you gerrymandered this legislature. Kristen, you ran against John Mako, who was it just yesterday or the day before announced he's not going to run for re-election to his district, which more than a couple of Republicans have decided because, you know, there's going to be a changing of tone here after years of, you know, constituent service kind of being on the sidelines.
For the first time in a long time, these people who are incumbents are having to fight for their seats, and they're having to actually reflect the needs, the will of the people who they serve. And Joe, I love hearing what you're saying about the stories and representing your constituents, because like you said, that's what this job is all about. What do the people of Wisconsin need? What do they want? And how can you serve them?
Dr. Kristen, we may share some similar backgrounds. I'm from De Pere, Wisconsin.
Get out! Hey, I'm in De Pere, Wisconsin.
Excuse me?
I'm in De Pere.
Yep. You are in De Pere. Mm-hmm. Are you, well, then I have to ask, are you in East or West?
Technically, I'm in Ledgeview, but my kids go to East De Pere.
Very good.
Boy, I was really afraid we're going to get a rumble here pretty soon. There's sharks and jets and De Pere.
Ledgeview is a beautiful place. It's the old town of De Pere, by the way.
It is.
Historically. Well, you know, De Pere, Kristen, was a, back in the 40s and the 50s, it was known as the community that had 100% voter turnout. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you entered De Pere, in the 60s, there would be on the population sign a little statement at the bottom of the population that actually indicated that. And De Pere was very proud of its voting history, its voting participation. And I know that I come from that. I know that my parents were so involved in the community. And that influenced me. That's why I am, in fact, running again.
Tell me about the district now that it's changed. What's the district number, and where all is the district this time around?
Sure. The district runs from the town of Menominee. It includes the city of Menominee and then heads east right along Highway 29. And it includes the township of Elk Mound. It includes the village of Elk Mound. It then enters Chippewa County. And it moves all the way and includes the city of Chippewa Falls. And then it takes a little right-hand turn there and goes down into Lafayette, where the district ends, actually. But it also includes part of the city of Eau Claire that is within the Chippewa County border.
Okay. What is the new number on that? Is it 20?
It's 92.
Oh, so this is the new 92nd. Okay.
This is the new
92nd. Well, funny that you say that, because we also have, last night, we got an email from our friend Christian Phelps, who joins us every Wednesday on our homeroom segment with his work for the Wisconsin Public Education Network, announcing that he is going to be running for assembly in the new 93rd district, which yes. is, you know, in a big chunk of the city of Eau Claire and other areas around there. So you have, you know, some really leading voices already in the area. Of course, Jody Emerson in the 91st district as well. So I guess in closing, Joe, you know, what can you tell us about what Chippewa Valley voters can look forward to in these various races from now till November?
Stability. I think what you will see more than anything, I was so happy to hear that Christian is entering the race, because he brings a new vitality to the state assembly. With the guidance of Representative Emerson and my experience from a little bit up north, we are going to have a very good representation in the state assembly. And of course, we have Jeff Smith, Senator
That's
Smith.
Right.
Going to be right there. He's going to be partnering with us. And I'm very, very excited about I see this as an opportunity, not only for myself, mm-hmm. short-term opportunity for myself, but I also see it for the state of Wisconsin.
Very much so. Joe Plouffe, thank you so much. Good luck to you. We'll visit
thank
again
you.
Real soon.
Thank you.
All right, Kristen, your turn. We're turning to you in just a matter of moments with our Women Win Wisconsin segment and some big news next on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Time for our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment, where we highlight the women who are making a difference in their local communities and in many cases looking to step up and serve their community in new roles. Folks watching on the video feed on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter will also notice that Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good is here. So on the topic of big announcements today, Kate, are you here to announce that you're in labor or not? Is that...
I wish, although we can manifest that. We can just keep saying that and eventually it will happen.
Okay.
Eventually it will happen.
That's the only way out of this, right?
Let's do that when an OBGYN is in the room with you, not on a screen with you, but is actually nearby. So Kate's here to talk about Motherhood for Good and its changing role here on this fine radio program in just a bit. But like we said, this is the season now with the spring elections over. Fall elections are top of mind for everybody right now. As we told you in our last segment, former State Assembly Rep Joe Plouffe, after a 20-year hiatus, is coming back on board to run for one of the new seats in Western Wisconsin. We hear tell that another former Republican state rep from Western Wisconsin is probably going to be announcing soon, getting back in the race. So there's not just new faces. There's some old familiar faces as well. Kristen, you have been encouraging people to run for seats in the legislature for the longest time now. And how is that shaking out over in your corner of the state? I know we've had a couple friends on. There was Alicia Saunders. There was Renee Papelham. What's happening there? Can you tell us?
Yeah, over a year ago, we launched a campaign that we called 23 for 24. In the 8th Congressional District, we've got 23 seats on the ballot this fall. Last cycle, a third of those seats went unchallenged. This cycle, every single seat will be challenged. Every voter will have a choice in choosing their assembly rep and for those Senate seats that are on the ballot for those positions as well. And two of the most exciting people that I couldn't be more thrilled about are newcomers to the political arena. People who said, you know what? I can do this. This is my time. Renee Papelham Assembly District 1. This is Door County, Kewaunee, and a little bit of Brown. Renee is a young mom. She is a community leader, and she stepped up after the Dobbs decision happened and knew that she was called to serve. And the more she talked with community members, the more she knew that she was the right person. So yesterday, Renee announced she's got a big event tonight in Door County at Peach Barn in Sister Bay. I'm going to be there too. So we're going to have a blast celebrating Renee tonight. And then Alicia Saunders in Assembly District 2. She lives in Kimberly, so part of the valley, but also east, stretching over to Two Rivers. Alicia is a mom. She's a Navy veteran. She is a blue-collar worker, and she has an incredible amount of passion. She is vibrant, and she's going to take over the world. These two women... Oh, I couldn't be more excited to be in their camp.
You know what? They're pretty excited for you too. Wasn't Alicia one of three people that the three women in the area that were thinking about maybe making a run for Congress in the district? She was one, right?
She was one. So Alicia called me one day and said, I really want to do this. And I said, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what this means. Like, what do you bring to the table and how can we work together? And then Kelly Peterson called me and said, I want to run for Congress too. And the three of us put our heads together instead of fighting, instead of primarying. We said, how can we all be part of the solution? Well, Alicia, of course, has decided to run for Assembly District 2. Kelly has a big announcement on the horizon. And Pat, I have an announcement too.
You do?
Yeah.
I guess I guess by theory of deduction, we're down to one.
Pat, I am declaring today that I am running for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, and I couldn't be more excited.
This is a big deal. And, you know, first, was it May of last year, I think, there was a news story about you considering making a run for Congress like this. There's been a lot of discussions. There have been, you know, meetings. You've had public forums. So what did it? Because you were talking about challenging Mike Gallagher long before he first abruptly said he was not going to run again, then abruptly announced he's just going to up and quit Congress. You were ready to take him on. So that probably wasn't a factor. What ultimately made you say this is the right race for you?
Well, just like Alicia and Kelly, I just want to be part of the solution. I want to be the most effective leader, the most effective doctor, the most effective woman that I can be. And just as the year has changed, as we've gotten our new maps, as Congressman Gallagher has decided to step away, we see a path here. There is a clear path to victory, even in what in the past has been an R+16 district. With women at the helm, with women voting, with women stepping up and acknowledging that my personal freedoms are being taken away from me. They're looking at democracy. They're recognizing that our democracy is in peril and that it's our job as moms, as small business owners, as community leaders to take the helm and to lead here. So that was the reason.
Now, by your own admission, and we've all seen that, this is not a toss-up district, and the district lines did not change for congressional races. So, I mean, you've talked a bit about how since the Dobbs decision, there's just been this change in the electorate. But is that the only thing that you think you'd have going in your favor as a Democrat running in such a heavily Republican district?
Well, we've seen since 2020 where voters are leading. You know, with Janet Protasiewicz, she lost this district just by 4 points. And we didn't really even talk about reproductive freedom during her campaign up here. And the whisperings that we're hearing amongst people who identify as conservatives or who formerly voted for Republicans, they don't agree with this mega extremism. They recognize that President Trump is not telling the truth and that he does not reflect their values and their ideals. They're looking for something different. And they know that in order to marginalize what's happening in Congress right now, the least effective Congress, by the way, in decades, in order to get things done for the people, we've got to elect officials who are going to work for the people, who are going to represent the people. And that's who I am. I'm the people.
You are the people. And you are one of the people who has been at the forefront of restoring women's reproductive health rights. That any time before the Dobbs decision, I think people would have looked at you, you know, as an OBGYN, as an outspoken advocate for full reproductive care, which includes abortion care, that would have been a real liability. But I think now that people have seen what extremism on the right is able to do once it captures the U.S. Supreme Court, I'm not saying your race is going to be easy, not by any stretch, but it's definitely going to be different. But you're still going to have some very fierce opposition on this topic.
I do hard things, Pat. I'm a first-generation college student. I became a doctor out of love. And not only am I a doctor, but I am a nationally recognized leader in this field. During my first campaign for assembly in 2020, we didn't talk about abortion at all because it was a liability. But it's important. And now it's more important than ever. And not just to talk about abortion, but to talk about how it fits into healthcare, because abortion is healthcare. It's related to IVF services and infertility and miscarriage management and complicated pregnancies. If we want healthy moms, if we want healthy families, we've got to provide comprehensive reproductive healthcare. And we have to acknowledge all of the social determinants that fit into our healthcare. It's not just about handing somebody a pill or prescribing physical therapy. It's making sure people have clean water, that they have strong public education, that they have opportunities in small businesses. There are so many things that leaders can do to encourage people, to help people live their healthiest possible life. And that's why it's perfect for a doctor in this role. Actually, I'm surprised there aren't more doctors who step up and run, because many of the decisions that legislators make on the federal and state level affect our health directly and indirectly.
As an OBGYN, let's then go back and check in on Kate Duffy. Nope, still pregnant. Okay, hasn't delivered yet. But Kate is here from Motherhood for Good because, Kristen, with you having, shall we say, a new time commitment and a schedule commitment, the Women Win Wisconsin segment is still as vital as ever, but so is our Motherhood for Good segment, which had been on Mondays. But Kate, you and everybody around you at Motherhood for Good, you've talked about stepping up and moving over to this Thursday morning shift to continue to highlight women around our state.
Yeah, we're so excited about that. We've been in talks with Kristen, and we're going to take over the Thursday morning slot of Women Win Wisconsin. And we're going to be talking to women, people who are running for office, change makers all over the state, people just like Kristen and people running for assembly and anybody who's kind of doing big things in their community. And we're going to take that to weekly. So you'll be seeing more of us. And we're really excited to kind of bring more of those conversations to you guys and take over for Kristen so she can go and run for Congress and do this thing. And I have like perma chills, by the way. We're so excited. This is happening. We're so excited.
Perma chills.
This couldn't be more right. You know, yeah. Motherhood for Good, Women Win Wisconsin. We now have a record number of women serving in the Wisconsin State Legislature, and it's still less than a third. This changes this fall because women are stepping up in ways that we've never stepped up before. We're supporting each other and we're recognizing that we are the solution.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think as well, a point that we've made repeatedly and will again, as we saw from some of this week's election results, these races are going to be close. And Kate, this is right in your wheelhouse of talking to all those busy moms out there saying, we know you're busy. You are not too busy to vote when some of these races and issues come up. That sounds to me like it's been your core message.
Of course. You're never too busy to vote. And we're asking people to even go above and beyond that. We know not everybody has time to like go out and knock on doors for a couple hours, but there's so many other ways that you can get engaged and involved and, you know, share things with your friends, whether it's on social media or a daycare pickup or at school or a book club or anything. And like you guys were talking about with the 8th Congressional District, it may not be a toss-up, but it is flippable. And there's a lot of hope there and all the stars are aligning. And if there's ever going to be a time where we're going to be able to do this and flip this, it's right now with this candidate in this political environment. And we are going to be counting on our community and women and families across the state to really rally and get involved and help spread the word and get involved in these elections, both for the federal elections and at the local level, because yes, they are so close.
And flippable is the right word. You just look at what we saw with the Green Bay City Council. you know, just the other day.
Yes.
That happens. There were county boards that flipped control this week as well. In every case, it comes down to people who may have once upon a time thought that they were too busy to get involved, getting involved. And that doesn't just happen because somebody runs. It doesn't just happen because of a radio show. It happens in large part because people like Kate and Motherhood for Good have been embracing social media and all the things that I'm assuming Kate Motherhood for Good is still going to do to reach people on Instagram and elsewhere, so that while they're scrolling through and seeing a lot of entertaining videos, they're also going to get informed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going to keep putting information out there. We're going to keep setting up events and different ways that people can get involved. We'll keep putting stuff out there so that you can grab whatever works for you. Nobody has to do everything, but if everybody does something, we can all kind of work together and make change happen.
You know what I'm looking forward to is, as Kristen and I have been saying for the better part of a year, you know, I should really be doing more on TikTok. Yep, I should be doing more on TikTok too. Yeah, and we've watched how busy you've been on Instagram. I finally have started to step up my TikTok game. We finally get, I'm sure this campaign is going to include more TikToks out of Dr. Lyerly. So we have that to look forward to.
We do. And I just want to emphasize a point that Kate made. There is a place for everyone here. Get out and vote. Have a conversation with somebody. Volunteer for a campaign. Do something, because this is our time. And really, we hear this all the time. This is the most consequential election of your lifetime. This really is the most consequential election of our lifetime. So let's do this.
Are you still going to be where you've been on social media, as far as, you know, with the handle Kristen for Wisconsin?
KristenForWisconsin.com. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's and that's again Kristen with the two I's. Mm-hmm. So Kristen,
and increasingly TikTok. I can get some help from Pat.
You're going to get help from all corners. We are very excited for you, and Kate, we're very grateful for you for stepping up and helping continue to show how women can win Wisconsin, like the two of you. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you,
Pat.
Have such a wonderful day. We will be back to wrap up the show, a little conversation with Luke Mathers next. You're up north. Time to talk a little Top Chef and more with our friend Luke Mathers, future Top Chef. What are you going to be, a sampler, or you're going to be a champion? What are you talking about? Calling himself?
I can't cook like that.
He's a chef testant.
Yes, you would make a great chef testant.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Well, call yourself that anyway, just to get under Greg's skin, because he hates that term so much. Well, first off, let's welcome Luke in what is, without a doubt, the biggest letdown that this show has ever had, as those two wonderful women leave and the three of us guys.
I want to have just a conversation about that. I need to talk about my booking slot, because it is not fair that I constantly have to follow Dr. Lyerly and now the excellent team at Motherhood for Good. Like, this is nonsense. I need to talk to your booking agent.
Well, I think isn't that what they call in the business, like a buildup? Like, this is the audience that's handed to you.
You just called me a letdown. What are you talking about? Yourself just kicked out the segment as a letdown.
Well, that was out of love, not sarcasm at all. Not at all.
No, I don't know. All I see here is the very capable, very handsome, and the very my boss, Luke Mathers, right here, who is here to talk about a TV show that is something I've heard of.
Before we dive into that, though, hats off to Mr. Gregory Bach for filling in for Mr. Kreitlow while he was gone for several days. Yep. Pat, we barely even knew you were gone.
Hey,
Greg had it covered so well. No, it's not an insult. It's Greg was in such capable hands with the show, and we barely knew that Pat was gone. That's terrific.
That's because Pat worked his butt off to record some interviews to play during those hours. But yes, I could not have possibly
executed
perfectly. I wouldn't have had that extra time with the grandkids over Easter weekend.
I feel so uncomfortable right now.
So thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Last night, Top Chef Wisconsin, the cheese episode.
Yes.
But before we get to the cheese, we got to start with the cherries. And how did you like, after they introduced the chef testants to Door County cherries and then said, okay, everybody gets a mystery ingredient and you've got to pair your cherries with, and the list included onions, bamboo, mustard, ginseng, garlic, chicken livers.
Black garlic.
Black garlic. I mean, when again, it turns out a lot of them did wonderful things, but what did you think when you first saw those mystery ingredients?
I thought that that was, it made it a lot more of an interesting quickfire challenge for the kickoff of episode 3 for Top Chef Wisconsin. I thought cherries as a quickfire itself was way too easy. So the fact that they got a curveball, I thought made it a lot more interesting. And they were curveballs. Like, I cannot imagine cooking something with cherries and making it delicious with a mystery ingredient of mustard.
Well, like, and they did. They did, like, the who won that one? Rasika used onions and cherry juice and a black pepper relish. Mm-hmm. There was grilled cabbage with a cherry sauce.
One wasn't great. That one got the bottom.
The one with the beets and chocolate didn't work so well either.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was a cherry glaze of some sort over salmon, pork, and beef. And in all those, you go, oh, sure, I get it now. If you mix cherries and, you know, like garlic, you'll get this nice little glaze for something. So
right. You can get a nice demi reduction with cherries. But the winner, actually, she had several different components of cherry in her dish. So she used several varieties of Door County cherries, and she got... I believe they're doing cash prizes. So it was a $5,000 cash prize.
And that's the second time that she's won that. So she's
Oh, she's up to $1,500, I believe.
$1,500
bucks.
So good on her, you know, for winning another one of those. So then they moved on to the elimination challenge, which was cheese. Mm-hmm. And not just cooking something with each one got a different type of cheese. But then they had to serve it to a bit of a – they made up like a cheese festival outdoors. I never did catch the location. It was a beautiful farm.
I was trying to figure it out myself. I think it was one of the wedding venues in southeastern Wisconsin. Okay. And it was at a barn, but it was not like a currently active dairy barn. It was a very nice barn.
Definitely some kind of an events venue. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. By the way, still the beauty shots around Milwaukee. I mean, that's worth watching the show just for the state pride that you get. But anyway, this didn't happen last week. Okay. This was recorded last summer, and they made note that the temperature that day was 95 degrees as they're cooking these various cheese dishes outdoors for 100 guests. That didn't look fun at all.
Yeah, it definitely, the added element of cooking outdoors, you've seen this as a feature of Top Chef seasons past, where good contestants go home because they don't factor in the elements of cooking outdoors at these types of events that they throw throughout the seasons. And so, yeah, not cooking in 95 degrees for a cheese dish, it was pretty tough.
Uh-huh. But then they also, again, didn't make, like you said, some of the right decisions. A lot of them tried to make croquettes.
About half of them. There were 13 chef contestants, uh-huh, left, and about half of them tried to make croquettes.
So one contestant, Manny, basically just decided to make poutine and just put some cheese curds on top of a croquette or whatever, and he got savaged by the judges for doing that. So he was on the chopping block along with Kevin and Kenny, and Kenny ultimately was the
spoiler
one.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, now you'll want to watch it and see what he did to mess it up. But yeah, you could tell that the hosts were not all that impressed by, you know, how some of them treated the challenge.
No, and hats off to Wisconsin's own Dan Jacobs, who we found out this week is a finalist for a James Beard Award this year.
Nice.
But Dan was in the top three with his take on a potato gnocchi with his cheese. And so he was just shy of getting immunity for next week, but he was in the top three. And I was a little surprised that the Manny, who just put the cheese curd on top of his poutine and didn't really do a whole lot else with it, that he didn't get sent home for that, because that was... That it tells you how bad the other dish was then, because yes, not actually incorporating the element for an elimination challenge is usually a fast ticket home.
Yeah.
And so I was a little surprised by those results.
I think he very much knows that he's on the bubble. And then next week, the theme is Frank Lloyd Wright, with, I'm sure we're going to see some more beautiful Wisconsin architecture. And the last thing I'll say is that between the shots of the Hook's 15-year cheddar and Marriott Agouda, I've got to go grocery shopping today, because you'd think after an hour of that, you cheese would be the last thing you'd want. Oh, no. I'm all in. More cheese, please.
See, and that would be the thing. If it was always cheese curds, I think I could handle my own. But I'm never going to be a chef testant, because that's about all I can work with.
Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Greg, thanks so much. We'll listen for you with Matt and Air on Air coming up at 10 o'clock. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Find us at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.